The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
Ew. What's going on, everybody? This is Jimmy Kemsky of PhillyVoice.com. With me, as always, is Brandon Lee Gowton of BleedingGreenNation.com. BGN Radio episode number
142.
How you doing, buddy?
Jimmy, there's so much news to talk about today. a lot of stuff here on this 10th day of Eagles training camp. Before we get into it, obviously, BGN Radio brought to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky. You can go to righteousfelon.com to get your meat snacks that the Eagles eat, or non-meat snacks. You can use discount code BGN15 at checkout to get 15% off. Jimmy, I mean, obviously, this is also like the Andre Dillard is out for the season. Emergency podcast. I guess we have to start there, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to record it exactly this time, just about anyway. but we're going to focus on that, obviously. The news coming down initially from Derek Gunn, formerly of NBC Philadelphia. Nice job letting him go, guys. He broke that Dillard had a biceps injury. It was unknown at that time, you know, how severe it was. Mike Garofalo later followed up with a report that I guess he didn't say if it was a biceps tear, but he confirmed it was biceps, and it's a serious enough injury that he's going to be done for the season, which is going to have both short-term and long-term ramifications. Brandon, why don't we start with the short-term? Obviously, JP is going to be moving from right guard, where he was sort of positioned after they signed him in the wake of Brandon Brooks's Achilles tear. So now this is, you know, offensive line starter injury number two that they've suffered now. JP will move from right guard to left tackle. But obviously there's a lot more to it in the short term than that.
Yeah, I think this actually helps the Eagles in the short term.
I do too.
Just because, you know, Dillard was not really having a great camp. We'll get into that a little bit later. But just in terms of the short term right now, what the Eagles do from going here. Yeah, I think it is obviously Jason Peters at left tackle. It's Isaac Suolo at left guard. It's Jason Kelsey at center still. It's going to be Matt Pryor, I believe, you know, at right guard. I think he's had a good camp overall. And I think, you know, just his trajectory, you kind of have some level of optimism. He's able to take that on there. Obviously had the start in the playoffs last year at right guard. And then Lane Johnson, although he's missed the past 5 days of practice
now. Sunday was the day that he appeared on the injury report as quote-unquote day-to-day. I think it was lower body with him. So I think that's worth watching. That's going to be something that Doug will get asked about for sure the next time he talks, because he missed the entire week, plus whenever he sustained that injury. So it is extended into, you know, more than just day-to-day. It's been at least a week with him. So, have they had better line depth in the past? Yes, Brandon, they have.
Yeah, I mean, who's their backup left tackle right now?
Who knows? Mylott has been that guy throughout camp. Like, Dillard has gotten hurt at other points during camp. And whenever he has, Mylott has filled in. Mylott filled in today when Dillard left practice. It was actually kind of a rare thing that nobody saw Dillard leave practice early. We all just kind of noticed that he wasn't there anymore. But nobody actually saw him leave practice like we normally.
I actually saw it, Jimmy.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I was like the only person to see that happen. While all of you fools were watching only 7-on-7, I have the skill to watch both 7-on-7 and offensive linemen.
Oh, it happened in one-on-ones?
Yeah, Josh Sweat. He was going up against Josh Sweat. And then right after the rep, I was actually going to write that Dillard did a good job, but I think Josh Sweat might have let up. I guess like Dillard might have gotten hurt during the rep, and it kind of ended it because he started squatting, and he was like really holding his hand, and trainers started to look at him, and at one point he was like on both knees, just like standing there, or you know, on the ground there,
okay,
waiting and kind of just in pain. While the rest of the drill was still going on, you know, like 10 feet away. So,
well, stellar reporting by you.
There we go.
Did you have that in your notes?
I did.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, no one cares about that.
Except me. So, yeah, I would agree Pryor is going to be, I mean, before they signed JP, we were all sort of penciling in Matt Pryor at right guard after Brooks went down. And then thereafter, you know, I think the locks for the roster would be Herbig at this point for sure.
He was at first team right guard today with Jason Peters having a maintenance day.
I think you have to include Driscoll there. I had Mailata out, but he's going to be on the team now, I would think.
Yes.
And then I would have Winogo on. I don't know if Luke Jariga is long for the roster.
Okay.
What do you think?
Possibly not, but I've talked before about how, you know, the signing bonus is a thing in his favor. He'll at least make the practice squad. You know, I feel pretty confident about that.
But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter right now. What matters is that the starting left tackle is out for the season. As you said, and I agree with, it probably makes them better in the short term. Like, I did not think, you know, I was thinking that Dillard at some point this season was going to get wrecked by, like, a legitimate stud defensive end. I mean, he really struggled. As a rookie, in my opinion, he was particularly bad in his first game, which you might forgive a little bit, against the Vikings. When he entered that game early, had a combination of Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter working against him. He was bad against the Cowboys, facing Robert Quinn all day. Was a little bit better against the Bears and Bills. And then obviously the nightmare game for him was the Seattle Seahawks regular season game. He only lasted two quarters in that before they benched him. He was playing, you know, quote unquote, out of position at right tackle, you know, sort of seemed like self-defeating, like he kind of knew he was going to be bad heading into that game, and sure enough, he was. So he was a player of high interest heading into this training camp, and, you know, as we mentioned yesterday, he had probably what was maybe the worst play of camp of anybody, where he just got destroyed by Joe Osman on a bull rush, got pushed back into Carson Wentz, landed on Carson Wentz's left leg. Wentz's leg kind of bent awkwardly, and he went down. Little quick scare there, but Wentz popped right back up, seemed to be fine, finished practice with no problem. So that was sort of a disaster avoided there, but a really bad rep from him, and sort of a continuation of what the biggest fear was with him in terms of his ability or lack thereof to anchor against power rushers. There's no question that he's a great athlete, and he has good feet, and he can mirror and match and that kind of thing, but against those power rushes, it was really a big liability, and we saw that in the practice yesterday. So I was pretty sure at some point this year that he was, you know, going to run into some pretty rough games. And while Jason Peters is aging, and he's kind of been declining over the years, I think he still remains a more solid option in the short term than Dillard.
Yeah, as far as the starting lineup goes, again, the depth is obviously in the short term is a big issue.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean it's better now, like. So it's better in the short term until it isn't. Because once JP goes down, who are you putting in? Is it Mailata? And Mailata is not better than Dillard, in my opinion. So, I mean, that could be a real problem when JP goes down. Like, do you think it's definitely Mailata fills in for him now if he goes down?
I mean, that's what we're seeing in practice. Like, who else would it be? You know, for sure. I think it would be. Because who else would it be?
Driscoll played right tackle and left guard in college. He's been playing right tackle almost exclusively, a little bit of right guard in training camp. He, in theory, could play left tackle, maybe. You know, Matt Pryor, we mentioned, is probably just going to fill in right guard. He's played right guard and right tackle throughout camp. Throughout his career with the Eagles, he's only played right guard, right tackle. He did play a little bit of left guard at some point during camp this year, but I don't think he's really an option at left tackle. So, I mean, you're like, maybe Prince Tego Winogo, convinces the, coaches that maybe he's more ready than Jordan Mailata. I don't really necessarily see that, though, either. So, not great. Like, they've definitely gone into seasons with more convincing depth than they appear to be heading into this season.
It's frustrating, too, because it feels like, okay, the Eagles might have finally gotten the wide receiver position right. But then it's like the offensive line right. just collapses and falls apart. And that'll be like the issue this year. That'll be like the wide receiver position of last year, where that totally just like unseats the season. Totally yeah. just ruins everything. Looking at some of the, you know, the free agent options here, obviously there aren't going to be great, you know, names. It's August 27th. You're not going to, the options are not plentiful.
Offensive line play sucks around the NFL. So if there's, I mean, just generally speaking, so if there's anyone worth having on your roster, they're not just sitting on the street, you know, with their hands raised, you know, ready to be signed by some team like you might find with a running back, for example.
Jimmy, they could sign Jadeveon Clowney and play him at offensive tackle. No, just kidding. I have Adrian Waddle at the top of my list. Jimmy, I've been saying it all offseason.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, he's one of your free agent guys, right?
His tackle guard versatility is 31 starts and 61 games played, and eight of those starts came as a UDFA with Jim Schwartz's Lions in his last year with the Lions, 2013. So that's a guy they're familiar with. You also have Greg Robinson out there, obviously the number two overall pick from the 2014 NFL draft. He has 70 starts in 83 games. Big bust. But, I mean, like, I almost feel like are you going to trust Mailata? Like, I feel like they almost have to sign a veteran and add him into the mix here.
And then, long term, is left tackle now a huge offseason need next year? Or do you trust that Dillard, you know, recovers from this injury? And do you trust that he is going to progress from this year to next year?
Well, Jimmy, I just want you to know, Andre Dillard was dominant in training camp this year. So there's clearly no worries about his performance going forward.
Yeah, that, of course, is in reference to a tweet by Adam Schefter. Let me pull that up real quick to see exactly what he wrote. Eagles leader Adam Schefter reports, Eagles left tackle Andre Dillard tore his bicep at practice this morning and most likely will need season-ending surgery next week, as Real D Gunn reported. Dillard was dominant in camp.
That's just such a lie. Come on.
God.
It's just not true.
Unreal. Come on, man. First of all, as you guys probably know, Adam Schefter, I don't know where he lives, but certainly not at Eagles practices. he's not going to team practices or whatever. Certainly not the Eagles team practice. Are you just going to take an agent's word? An agent text you that? I can't imagine, you know, just reporting that way in hopes that they're going to give you a scoop down the line. It would just be demoralizing to me to have to do that. But he did. Dillard was dominant in camp, having no idea whatsoever what kind of camp Andre Dillard had. I didn't think Dillard was he had that one horrible, horrible rep, obviously, yesterday, and kind mm-hmm. of reaffirmed all the concerns that, you know, I had about him heading into this season. But, you know, I guess there were other times where he got pushed back into the pocket. But it wasn't a horrible camp otherwise. But it sure as hell wasn't dominant.
Yeah, that's just where it's insane. You could have said something he was showing encouraging signs, or he was, yes. You could even said he had a good camp, which would still be wrong, but would be right. All right, whatever.
You wouldn't have people all over you saying, what?
dominant is just so clearly a lie. It's just not true at all. And it's concerning because going into year three, which Andre Dillard will be next year. Yeah. It's you don't know what you have still in terms of you don't know if this guy's a franchise left tackle for sure. You can't say that. You cannot say that with any kind of serious certainty.
You couldn't say it this year. You can't say it next year.
Yeah. And guess what? Andre Dillard going into his third season next year, will be turning 26 in October 2021. Ooh. That's not great. He's an older player for a guy that was only drafted last year. And you just kind of wonder, what's this going to do for his development too? I don't know. It's a huge concern. And just based this idea, the Eagles want to build through the trenches. They want to be strong up front on both sides of the ball. And I just don't know, what this team looks like if that's a weakness, because it's been a strength for them in recent years. And guess what? It still hasn't been enough in a lot of ways. When you look at the 2018 season and 2019 season, where when the wide receivers were abysmal, at least you had the offensive line there to kind of help you out and you could do some things. But if you don't have that, it doesn't even matter. It almost doesn't even matter if the wide receivers are a lot better. If the line isn't going to protect Carson Wentz, if he's going to get, again, they're so close. Because, JP is out there right now, sure. But And what, he didn't miss a ton of games last year?
He played like 80% of the snaps last year.
But yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, he played every game. He started every game, but he came out of like, I mean, I don't remember exactly how many games, but he came out of a bunch of games early.
It's 75% of the snaps he played, so even less than 80 or fewer than
80. It was 80 the year before then.
It was 13 starts. It was 13 starts last year and 13 games played.
Oh, yeah, so you're right. My bad. Yeah, was it the year before he played all 16?
Correct, in 2018. Yeah, okay. But now, you know, he's another year older. He's like 38 and a half. He'll be turning 39 after the season. Like, you know, this is not a good situation. This is a big concern. Like, this is, you know, I think one thing I wanted to say yesterday when we were talking about, like, biggest concern, like, you could say that linebacker is, like, kind of the weakest point of the Eagles roster if you're kind of just, you know, not waiting position and everything. Yeah. But, like, bad linebacker play isn't going to ruin the Eagles 2020 season. Like, right. That's not going to be the storybook. Like,
right.
You look back and like, oh man, if only they had a better linebacker, that would have changed everything. Like, no. But this offensive line thing could absolutely be the reason why this season is like totally thrown off. So it's a huge issue. It's a big freaking deal.
Yeah, and Jim Schwartz has said that before. Like, if a linebacker like badly messes up a play, like maybe a running play goes for 15 yards instead of 4. You know, like, whereas, like, if an offensive tackle, you know, just whiffs on a block, it could be the end of your quarterback season.
Yeah.
Or a sack fumble that gets returned for a touchdown or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, obviously, the you know, as you mentioned, the positional importance is huge with the offensive line and tackle specifically.
This is not good, Jimmy. I don't know other way. Like, I mean.
I think they got Doug the evaluation Peterson. Wrong on that one.
Yeah,
I mean, his injury has nothing to do with that, obviously. But I think even before the injury, I think it was a major concern. It was my biggest concern on the team heading into this year was Dillard at left tackle.
Yeah,
I mean, they might be better in the short term again until Jason Peters goes down, and then they're not better short term anymore. So it's a very layer, like as you mentioned, it's a very layered situation with Dillard getting hurt.
Yeah, I just think like you look at the Brandon Brooks injury and like it's a big deal because he's a really good player. But at the same time, like I don't think that totally changes the Eagles' outlook of the whole season. Like it's not like
right.
But this does. Like
I don't, and
I'm not ready to say the season's over because this team has been incredibly resilient under Doug Peterson. And like who knows how he might have a trade or a signing or whatever up his sleeve, and maybe they can kind of make it work. But I mean, there's just a chance like they don't. Like, there's a very real chance like this is a disaster or like pretty bad.
And, when did the injury stop, by the way, man? Like it's crazy. There's already a major. Oh, well, actually, there is good news. Jannard Avery. We probably both thought it was an ACL tear, but it turns out it was just a bone bruise. So he's only day to day.
Well, that's good. Well, seriously though, good for him. Happy.
Yeah.
I don't make light of that. Geez, this isn't good. I don't know. That's where I'm coming down with. Like this. I don't know what else to say. Like, this is bad. Like, this is, again, short term, if the offensive line stays healthy, it could work out. It could be good. But, I mean, it's really hard to count on that, knowing how JP is just going to get banged up at some point. Even if it's not, like, you know, missing multiple games, he's going to miss snaps. Like, it's a guarantee. It's a lock. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just don't really know how they survive that if it's an issue longer than a few snaps.
You know it's not bad, Brandon?
Jeez. Who isn't bad?
Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Kristen Roach was voted by the leaders of Earth as the best realtor in the history of the universe. Call her at 856-906-9295 for a free market analysis or home comps or just to say hello. 856-906-9295, Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors, or you just email me. Jimmy@phillyvoice.com. Brandon?
Back after this.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, We provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Back here on BGN Radio, episode 142. Pretty gloomy start for the podcast here, Jimmy. And, yes. Did you even mention the fans thing? Have we talked about that yet?
Some
more gloom?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't talked. I don't think we've talked about it much on the pod. We definitely haven't talked about it at all on this pod. But the Eagles got confirmation from somebody.
Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Okay. That there will be no fans to start the season for sure. And probably won't have them all season. So that's a bummer if you enjoy going to football games.
Yeah, and it's not surprising to me, at least,
it was the expected outcome, for sure.
But it seems like the Eagles were kind of holding out hope that something might be able, they might be able to, like, work out some kind of alternative or some kind of, you know, situation with, like, pods that other teams seem to be doing, or, like, a limited amount of fans can attend. The crowd noise thing is weird. Did you see that Kyle Shanahan tweet, Jimmy?
Yes. That doesn't make any sense.
Like, so basically, if they're going to have fake crowd noise, any NFL team this year, it's on the whole game. Like, they can't, like, turn it off at any point. Like, it's just on the entire game, which is stupid. It's dumb.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
What's the point?
So, like, if the opposing team scores, there's going to be cheering? Like, are you serious? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I mean, that's basically any, like, Washington game at FedEx Field anyway.
But also, I don't like the idea of any fake crowd noise anyway. That's just me. Like, just be real. It's weird times. Just go with it. Mm. What do you need fake noise for? Like, I guess, like, it works a little bit in, like, the soccer games because they have that constant. There's just constant crowd noise in soccer games and chants and whatnot. Like, that's fun. But, like, it doesn't work really in football, I don't think.
Football is very reactionary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly just hitting play on a recorder and having crowd noise throughout randomly. Like, it really just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And is that just on TV, by the way, or is that actually in the stadium?
I think it's in the stadium. Also, it wouldn't be good for injuries if you can't turn it off for even those. Like, this guy suffers an ACL tear.
Oh, the fake fans are booing an injury. It's classic scumbag Philadelphia.
On more positive news, Jimmy, the Eagles wide receivers are looking good.
Yeah, I'm starting to buy in a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, they've been great every day, and I've been holding off saying, overpraising them, but they've just been awesome throughout the entirety of camp, really. Hightower had a big day today, but he had a big catch today. Where were they on that? Like the 20-yard line or so when that play started?
Yeah, I think it was red zone work, so I had him at the 20.
Okay, so he caught, like, was it Sud?
It was Sud.
Okay, so Sud lofted
Nate
up. Sort of a 50-50 ball. To Hightower, who went up over Craig James, I think it was.
Correct.
And made a really nice catch, kept himself in bounds. It was good for a touchdown. Like, from my vantage point, it didn't look like he was going to make the play, but ended up with the ball, held on, and he's just done that all throughout camp. Again, we've mentioned numerous times, like, we haven't seen him drop anything, but he's also made some really nice plays on top of it. So, I think he's the fourth receiver right now.
Wow.
Like, I would say it's Rager and Deshaun are the starters, I think it's pretty clear at this point. And then I think most people kind of had Ward as the three and maybe JJ sort of as the four. I think it's Rager, Deshaun, JJ in some way, and Hightower is my fourth guy. And then Ward is back end of the roster. Break glass in emergency.
I don't know if I agree, because, like, Ward's still getting all those first-team slot receiver reps, though. And again, like, I think Elliot Short Parks, like, had some of those, training camp stats he's, like, recording. I think Ward is, like, Wentz's top targeted receiver. Like, it's just kind of hard for me to believe. Like, he's totally going to be on the shelf. And, yeah, and also, like, Hightower still very much has to prove it. I think he's been great. I think he's showing. I think, when we talk about skills here, yeah, hands have certainly been great for Hightower. Haven't noticed drops. Like ball tracking, he had that deep catch yesterday, kind of just knew exactly where the ball was. And then just like the strength and kind of focus to really just get that contested fade catch today. Really encouraging. And then really when you expand the receiver position beyond that, like beyond, you know, whoever's playing at the top there, like Deontay Burnett's looking good, Jimmy. He had another good catch today. Like every day Deontay Burnett makes
every
he looks good. Like legit. And then, you know, even he, and this isn't like one good training camp either. I mean, it is in the sense for the Eagles, but he looked good at the end of last year, I thought.
He had a diving catch in one of those games.
The Giants game, week 17. But okay. Even looking when the Eagles signed him, I tweeted out this video of like, wow, this guy looks like he's legitimately the best. He could be the best receiver on the team right now. Like just looking at his highlights he had with the Jets, which were very limited, but like he made tough catches there. Good, tough catches. Yeah, I feel like Burnett has to be on this team the way he's playing. I mean, he deserves it. He mossed Cravon LeBlanc.
He did, you know, on the sideline. It was very nice catch on the sideline today. And Moss is the right way to
And
play.
Strap's good, too. So it's not like he just made a play on a bum. You know, it's not like he beat some like bum defensive back. Yes. Like, that was a good rep.
Yeah, he's had a good camp. He's not the biggest guy. His athletic measurables aren't great. Kind of, you know, just like Greg Ward, frankly. He's been better than Ward in this camp. By a substantial margin, in my opinion.
He's also younger. Greg Ward's 25. Deontay Burnett's only 22. Like, this is a guy in theory, you know, you look at that young age, like he could even get better potentially, or you know what I mean? Like, I that's not a guy you want to lose, in my opinion.
Can you keep 7 receivers?
You can. You know, what if you only keep like they have?
Yeah, I know they did it.
No, I'm telling you, they have. Sorry, I was agreeing. Okay. Yes, they have. I agree. They did it with Danny Amendola, I think, when he was on the team back in the day.
Have they done it in the Doug era?
I don't think so. But they did. They did have 6, you know, in 2017. And I guess they've done 6 other times. But they basically, maybe they did or didn't. I can't remember. But I know that, you know, they had 6 in 2017 because they had Alshon and Torrey and Aguilar and Hollins and Shelton Gibson and Marcus Johnson. So
we're not even counting Alshon in the 7 when we're talking about that, by the way.
Correct. Yes. Like, we're putting him on PUP.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking Rager, Deshaun, Ward, JJ, and the 2 rookies, Hightower and Quez Watkins, and then Burnett potentially being the 7th guy. He's absolutely earned a roster spot from what I've seen so far.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you have to keep him, though.
Does anyone pluck him if you caught him?
Maybe. They should. They absolutely should.
The team if they're should reading our that. Practice reports.
I mean, apparently that's a thing that people do. That's why all these GMs are afraid about it.
I am shocked that they are admitting that. That blows me away. Like if Howie said he was looking at other reporters' practice reports, he would get killed for that. I'm surprised. Like it was the Green Bay GM whose name I can't pronounce. He admitted that, not admitted, but he actually used
Gutekunst.
Yeah, he said that as a reason why they're not allowing Packers reporters to report on like depth chart stuff and other just basic observations that you make at practice. They're not allowed to report that stuff. And the reason they gave was that their scouts follow other, you know, media people around the league. And they sort of take that information and I don't know what they do with it. I assume it's just kind of like a starting point. But if Howie ever admitted that, like, he was looking at, like, you know, other teams, you know, media people for information. And I'm sure they do. Like, why wouldn't you? But if he ever admitted that, like, I can't imagine the Philly fans like not destroying him for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I totally get that. And it wasn't even just the Packers guy too. I think some other GM said that. I forget. I think it was the Bills because there's that whole Bills story where they banned their own.
It was
reporter.
Bills. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They like people quit over a bunch of stuff.
Anything else, Jimmy, on the wide receivers? I would add that DeSean Jackson just still looks great.
Yeah, really like, good day today open. From him.
Always open.
How close to you were you from him? Oh no, you were in the bleachers. Never mind. Did you see him jump into the fence?
No.
So when he
what
beat,
is that?
When he beat Slay on that deep post in 7-on-7s after he caught that touchdown pass, he ran to like the fence and like did like a side bump with the fence padded. Nice. Like they have a pad in front of the fence, but I was like, you know, calm down, DeSean. Like, make it to week 1 at least, man. You didn't see that?
Yeah, he looked. I didn't see that celebration, but I saw him just being open all the time and Carson finding him a lot. Really effective connection. But I also saw Carson Wentz target DeSean Jackson deep. And Darius Slay broke it up. Really good coverage, I felt like, on that play. It wasn't an accurate throw from Wentz. Like, it was, the ball was there where it should have been, and Slay was just had really good position.
Big good battles today.
Yep. So that's good to see, you know, because I think there's been a lot of consternation from fans, you know, talking about how, yo, Darius Slay could be a bust here because he's getting beat a lot in practice. Right. But definitely had a good rep against DeSean on that play, so that's encouraging to see.
Well, the other thing, too, like, with everyone has just been, you know, you and me reporting that, you know, how good the receivers look. It's pretty much been across the board. And I think the natural reaction to that is like, oh, well, that must mean that the defensive backs have been bad. But I really haven't felt that way, though, either. Like, I think Slay's been fine. I'm not worried about a guy like Slay, first of all, because, you know, he's a veteran. He's a veteran cornerback. I, like, watched every one of his snaps last year, and very clearly that guy can cover. Like, he hasn't lost that ability. And, like, I have other concerns with him, but clearly he can cover. And he's going to be able to cover this year. But I think the other, you know, corners have played really well, too. Like, Maddox, as you've mentioned, has had a good camp. NRC has had a really good camp. Cravon's had a good camp. I think that, like, their corners are going to be a lot better this year than they were a year ago. Which is kind of weird that, like, both the receivers and the corners seem to be playing well, but it's just kind of the reality of what's happened so far in camp.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think the secondary has been, like, bad by any means. Maddox is going to get beat sometimes just because he's not big enough, but he plays sticky coverage, and I'll take that. You know, I mean, obviously you want a guy, ideally, who's bigger and can play sticky coverage, but I'd rather take the guy still that isn't going to get totally, like, toasted and be out of position all the time. Like, at least Maddox is going to be in the right place. And he can test, and he can jump. So he's going to – it's not like he loses every jump ball. Like, you know, he's in position to contest some of these. So, yeah, I feel fine, really, about the corners, which is a weird thing to say about the Eagles because usually not the case. But yeah, receivers, corners – all of a sudden, those positions are looking better, and the trenches aren't looking as great. The defensive line has been good in camp, but also I think that part of that is because the offensive line has not been good.
Yeah.
And it should be noted, I wanted to say this earlier, like, the offensive line was not looking great even before, you know, like, these injuries, like, the latest injuries, like, when they had basically what they're going to go into the season with. And now it's even lesser, although, again, you can argue it's better in the short term. And, man, I really just, not to harp on that again, but I don't really, like, what does that do to this team's outlook? Like, it hurts it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, I mean, just the number of injuries that they've had is crazy already with Brooks and Dillard and Javon Hargrave and Derek Barnett. Like, when does it end? It's crazy every year.
I mean, what do you do? You know, at a certain point, like, with the offensive line situation, like, I don't, you know, like, what else were they even supposed to do? I mean, obviously not draft. Trade up for a tackle who isn't good, but even if he was good, it's still a big issue.
But it's like younger guys that it's happening to now too. Like, you know, Diller's a second year guy. Hargrave never had an injury really before he goes down. Barnett, you know, does have that injury history, but he is a young guy. Brooks maybe a little predictable on that one that he went down.
Sure,
you know, he's had his injury problems as well. But like the never ending string of injuries with this team is just crazy to me. Like, I just put together like a tracker of all the Eagles opponents this year and the injuries that they've had, and none of them have had, you know, as big an injury problem as the Eagles have so far. None.
And the Eagles also hired a new medical staff, you know, in the offseason.
Right.
Like, they added a whole new trainer and a whole new director of rehab or whatever guy. Like, they've added new people too. So, and from teams that were healthy, I guess something I had talked about earlier, like, they brought in guys from, like, the Vikings and Rams, who have been two of the healthiest teams in recent years. So, like, you know, like,
yeah,
they're certainly trying. Like, I give them credit.
Yeah. I give them A for effort, but it's, it's not panned out so far.
Jeez. Do we want to, any final thoughts here, Jimmy, I guess, before we wrap up on a somber edition of this BGN Radio?
Yeah, I think I'm okay on the final thoughts this week or today.
Yeah. Same. I guess I don't know how to reconcile the offensive line thing. Like, I don't, like, a lot of things, like, it's like, all right, this is bad, but it's not the end of the world. Like, this could be, I mean, not the literal end of the world, but end of the Eagles football season. I guess final thoughts, obviously a lot bigger going on than sports right now. Speaking of end of the world, with social justice conversation and everything, yes, and the Eagles practice today in full, while a bunch of other teams in the NFL, you know, decided to cancel or postpone. And obviously the NBA canceled their games on Wednesday night, although they will be resuming, it looks like, at some point here.
No Flyers now tonight.
Yeah, no Flyers game tonight with NHL canceling. And, you know, this kind of stuff is not, you know, it's not easy. It doesn't come natural for me to talk about. There's a lot of good voices out there, I feel like. But it's probably still important to talk and voice thoughts if you have those. And I would just say, like, I think something that I think about a lot is there's just, like, it really hurts me that there's a lack of empathy in the world. And I'd like to think I'm somewhat of an empath, Jimmy, and I can kind of, you know, put myself in other people's shoes. And in a lot of ways, I fail to do that, and I wish I could do it even better. But it just kind of hurts me when I look at Doc Rivers, like, crying,
yeah,
telling you about how, like, you know, like, and look at all these people hurting, a lot of Black people hurting. And, like, I just, you know, like, we have to listen to those people and try to help them. And do things to where we don't keep getting into this situation where, you know, there's this outrage and it's justified because people are hurting and they feel like they're not listened to and change isn't happening. And I guess, like, it's so I felt encouraged by hearing some of the stuff that Rodney McLeod and Jalen Mills and Carson Wentz had today, to say after practice. Yep. Yeah. And it's just so I don't know. I'm not, you know, going to be a great voice of insight or reason here. I'm a white male. I've been very privileged and very fortunate, and I do take that for granted. I can never understand the plight of some of these people that are these Black people and minorities who are hurting and have been discriminated against. It's just, it's really hard. It's really hard to see. It's even a billion times harder for them than it is for me, obviously. And I wish that's my thought. That's where my thought is at. I just wish we had more empathy and we can, and as a people, we could just not be so, you know, divided and just kind of come together. And, you know, I'm not trying to say utopia here. Obviously there's going to be differences of opinion, but like a wish could at least just have an understanding, like, look, these people are hurt, like, acknowledge that, like, validate that, recognize that. And like, understand, like, we have work to do. Like, there's a lot of work to be done in the world. Like, a lot of improvement that has to be made.
Well said, buddy. Did you see Wentz, the one quote from Wentz that that I thought was really good from him was, you know, something, racism is something that, or quote unquote, you know, something I've chosen to look past previously, mm-hmm, as somebody who knew very few Black people growing up. And yep, he said that he's being educated a lot. And I think, you know, that, you know, some version of that quote, you know, applies to a lot of white people that didn't grow up, you know, or didn't know a lot of Black people growing up. And didn't really understand sort of the struggles that they go through. And, you know, the light has obviously been shined on that in a big way over the last year or so. So I think people are starting to come around to that. But obviously there's so much, like, I mean, there's an insane amount of work to be done there. Clearly a lot of minds that need to be, you know, opened and more receptive to, you know, understanding what Black people and, you know, others go through on a day-to-day basis that, you know, people like you and me do not.
This has been BGN Radio episode 142. Thank you for listening, subscribing. Obviously, the Eagles have off on training camp tomorrow, which is Friday, August 28th. And then Jimmy and I will be back recapping the practices on Saturday and Sunday before it gets cut off. Obviously, you can go to RighteousSelling.com. to help support BGN Radio, our sponsor of the podcast, Right to Sell and Craft Jerky. So go do that and use discount code BGN15 and check out for 15% off. Obviously, you know, check out our work, my work at BleedingGreenNation.com, Jimmy's at PhillyVoice.com. Check out our social media channels, all that good stuff, rate, review. And until next time.
Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.